Hey everyone, you're listening to the Forcepreneur podcast, and this is part two, a productivity special with Jason Atwood. Learn to get things done the best way. So Jason, let's now talk about your second favorite topic, productivity. I am also a budding GTD practitioner, and before this interview, I reread the book and wrote down some questions.
Great.
So you just had your 520th review. Wow. And you finished a decade of...
That was only in that decade. I think I'm up around 700 something total, but okay.
Well, you finished a decade of GTD.
Yeah.
So let's begin with, what has been your greatest achievement or the area of improvement? Like, where do you see the most improvement in your life before GTD and after GTD?
Wow, that's a tough one. I should have got that one in advance. No, I think, so I've been doing GTD since I bought the book in 2004. I read it, and it probably took me about a year to really get into it and to really sort of, you know, get into the system. So I like to say I've been practicing for, you know, 14, 15 years now. I would say that the thing, and I've gone through, you know, many different levels. I mean, am I a master? I'm not a Jedi master yet. I'm always learning, always trying to get better at it. Again, the summit I went to, or the conference I went to in Amsterdam was GTD Summit. And I learned tons, even as someone as a long-term practitioner. I think the thing that has helped, you know, that I now look on this many years in is really about, it's the stuff that sort of he says in the beginning, but it's hard to even imagine, which is the ability to be really at peace and present and not in a constant state of stress, because you're in control of your things in your life. And I find the most people who, you know, suffer from sort of needing productivity methodologies suffer from that sort of latest and loudest, always being sort of pulled in many directions. And it's only because they don't have a system that helps them understand their internal and external commitments and be able to rationalize them and talk to them and be okay with what they are and what you're not doing, because everybody's not doing something right now. And so when I talk to people about productivity, I usually start with procrastination, and I ask people, what's procrastination? And they're like, it's not doing things. And I say, well, actually, that's not true. Procrastination, I'm not doing things now. I'm not playing, you know, with my daughter in the other room. I'm not getting ready for New Year's Eve. I'm not doing a lot, but I'm not stressed about it, because procrastination is about not doing something and then feeling bad, whether you feel bad for yourself or whether you feel bad because you let somebody else down. So being in that kind of control and being in that in control of your own life and all of your internal and external commitments, I think just makes life so much easier and makes you a better kind of person to talk with. It makes you a better person to be friends with. It makes you someone who hopefully a better business partner. So I think it's helped in many, many ways.
Interesting. So yeah, one of the things that he just said in the beginning of the book is by choosing to doing something, you are choosing not to do the other things. And it's very important to be clear about what are those things, because if you're doing something and in the back of your head, you're like, oh, I could have been making pasta with my girlfriend right now.
Right.
That would ruin what you're doing right now.
So
with the productivity or planning everything, how do you leave space for spontaneity in your life? How much of that is there? And by spontaneity, I not mean, okay, we are going for dinner. I will spontaneously decide what restaurant I want to go to, but rather, hey, let's just go for a dinner outside.
That I think that's the beauty of getting things done, is that if you actually know all the things you're on your plate, it gives you the ability to just not plan things, to say, oh, here's all the things, and now I'm not going to do any of them, and I'm going to go off, and let's just go for dinner right now. So because what it does is it allows you to see the stuff that you're not doing and be okay with it. Renegotiate that internal commitment or that external commitment. Say, hey, I'm going to go off for the afternoon and go to the movies right now because I want to. But I can only do that because I know all the things that I'm supposed to be doing, and I can just renegotiate those commitments. If I didn't know the things that I was supposed to be doing, I didn't have a place that I could go look to, then I wouldn't be able to be spontaneous because I'd feel bad. I'd be like, oh, I'm probably missing out on something. There's some commitment I said I was going to give to somebody or do. I said I was going to do this other thing. And by, you know, just being spontaneous and going and doing whatever I want, I've now procrastinated. I've let somebody else down, as opposed to my system allows me to have everything in front of me at all times. And then I can just go, I'm not doing any of this. I'm going to go do this.
Interesting. So, what is your favorite topic or part of the GTD system? For example, I can tell you mine is if you can't finish it in 2 minutes, do it now.
The two-minute
And I
rule.
gave it to my brother.
Yeah, and my brother works as an assistant director in Bollywood and, in series, and he has a lot of things on his plate. And he was like, this is the best piece of advice that I have given it to him. And it actually came from the book. Yeah. So what is your best tip from the
Yeah,
book?
I love the two-minute rule. It's where I usually start people on GTD is say, hey, just it's what I generally tell people when they're starting out on GTD is say, and again, we teach GTD inside of Arcus, so everybody's a sort of GTD practitioner inside of Arcus. We teach everybody, I say, just pick one piece of GTD and like try to build that into a habit. So use that 30-day period to build, the power of habit to build it, but try one piece. Don't try to do all of it all at once. That's what I would say. That's a good one. Capture is generally where I start people because obviously the whole system starts with capture. If you can't get it out of your head into some trusted system, it's really not, the rest of it doesn't work. Personally, my week review is the thing that makes the whole thing work. It is the hardest piece to implement. It's very, very difficult for people to carve out time and to have the mental space and the physical space to stop and to look back and to look at everything that they're doing, all those internal and external commitments, and to kind of go over them. Sometimes can be very mentally draining, but it is absolutely the best part of GTD, and is the thing that, again, you have to do the other pieces. You have to do the capture to do the review. But if once you get to the implementing the week review, I think you get to a different lane. You get to a different plane of existence. You just have a different level of stress. I mean, I don't really love the word stress because I think it's way overused, but there's something so relaxing and so good about finishing my week review and knowing that I'm totally in control of all the things and ready for anything. I mean, that was David Allen's second book, Ready for Anything. But it's like now it doesn't matter what's thrown at me. It doesn't matter what's coming at me. I know I'm in control. And so getting in that control state once a week as opposed to once and never, I think is so important and so powerful.
So I have to confess that I'm not the weekly review guy. I'm not doing them, but I have my lists. And at the end of the week, every Monday, there's kind of a list. And if at the end of at the beginning of the Monday, if I see my old list should be done, and if it is not done, then there's something left over. That is kind of my review that say it like that. But I do have these captures. So capture is very important. I have a whiteboard right here. I like to do whiteboard captures, and then some of them goes to my list. So coming, this is my next question. What tools do you use in tandem with GTD? Like, for example, for me, whiteboard and Trello. So I use Trello a lot. My life, Trello is like, Trello knows more about me than my girlfriend, let's say. There are boards for everything. There's not a board for girlfriend, but there's a board for like gifts and stuff like that. So, my life is made in Trello boards, and then boards have their own lists. And there's a list which is called brain dump, which is I'm traveling, something came to my mind. So I know which board it is because I'm doing two, three projects now. And then there's this dump list and it goes there. And from there, it will go into some of the other lists, which might be next in line, talk to someone, something like that. So what tools do you use?
Well, if you've followed me at all on Twitter, because I've posted a lot, but my main tool is OmniFocus, which is by Omni Group. Been using that for over 10 years, I think, maybe. I was just going to look back at my history on that. I'm a big fan of it. It is, in my humble opinion, it is the best GTD tool on the planet. It is just built. It's built from the ground up for GTD, and it is extremely powerful. It works on all the devices that I want it to work on, which is Mac and iOS. It synchronizes. It's got an online version. It's got easy capture. It's got some of the most powerful features, and they're very high-end features for GTD. But it is also hard to learn. Like it's a hard. It's not an easy tool to just to pick up and go with. So at Arcus, it's one of the tools everybody gets. Everybody gets OmniFocus, and we train people on it. So we do sessions, we do workshops, we do articles, we do one-on-ones. One of the things that I offer up to any employee at Arcus probably not scalable to, you know, thousands of people, but for 40, it's easy, is, hey, if you want help with OmniFocus, just, you know, ping me. Just say, hey, can I get on your calendar to go through this and to show you what I'm doing? The other day, I had someone who was internally struggling a little bit with GTD and OmniFocus. And so I immediately, my reaction was to jump in and be like, all right, I'll sit with you. We'll do 2 hours. I'll really work with you. And then I somehow just turned the corner and I said, you know what? I'm not doing that. I'm going to have you talk to 3 other Arcus people who have been using OmniFocus and GTD for, you know, 3-4 years each. You talk to them, talk to each one independently and get their take. And that worked actually better than me doing one session because it was different takes on how to handle it and different parts of their life. So OmniFocus is 100%. So that's all my next actions, my projects, and then all my lists, all my sort of reference material. It's all in Evernote on the personal side. So those where I keep those things.
All right. So just a question, is OmniFocus, it's a fact that it's designed for GTD or it's just a coincidence that it works really well? I'm unaware of this. So
yeah, so OmniFocus, and spoiler alert, I might be doing a podcast with OmniGroup on OmniFocus coming up soon, maybe next week. So we'll be talking a lot about the history of OmniFocus, but it did start back as one of their other products called Omni Outliner, which is still a product of theirs. OmniGroup was one of the first developers for OS X because they were a developer on the Next system. So Next is brought from Next, and when Steve Jobs came back, again, all kind of ties together. So they were a developer. They had these programs. They had this Omni Outliner, which is this great outlining tool for tracking all this stuff. And someone built this plugin that was for GTD. It was called Kinkless GTD. And it was a plugin that helped sort of turn Omni Outliner into this tool that you could track your GTD, your next actions and your projects and stuff like that. And what happened is Omni Group, the company, they kind of looked, they saw the popularity of this. They saw all these people purchasing and using Omni Outliner and like, what's going on? And they kind of like turned their heads and all of a sudden they realized, oh, we should build something specifically for GTD. So they actually worked with people who were practitioners. They had consultants come in. They worked with David Allen, and they really did build OmniFocus to be a GTD tool. Now, I would say over the last, you know, whatever, 3 or 4 years, they've definitely said, hey, oh, it's a productivity tool. It can handle other things. But there are so many core things that they built in that kind of were almost improvements to the GTD system. There's things that they built in that are just, they're better than like what you could do if you had paper. So they took some of these great concepts and they built it into the software. So again, now I would say they probably don't say it's a GTD only tool. You can certainly do task management, project management. You could do a lot of stuff in it, but it definitely was built from the ground up originally to be a GTD tool.
Interesting. Yeah, I know about the Omni Group from the Next and all the story, and they're pretty good OS X developers, but yeah. I didn't know about that. Yeah, shared link if you if you get something for inviting people, and I'll give it a spin.
Sure.
It looks something I would check it out. So my second last question, and this is again a personal question that I have. So how do you manage your someday maybe list? And for example, I'm running 3 projects right now. And I keep getting these ideas. For example, I'm from India. My girlfriend is German.
We both live in Berlin. Now, my girlfriend wants to learn Hindi in order to converse with my parents back in India, you know, so that she can build a relationship and have more deeper conversations.
And there are a lot of Indian people here, I would say at least 100, 200,000. And there are a lot of housewives. So my idea is to make these housewives run classrooms for all the people who are, you know, dating foreign people and start a school. Now, I'm running 3 projects right now, and I cannot do this, although it sounds like a win-win situation for both the parties. So how do you manage your someday maybe lists? When do you get time for that?
Sure. So I run someday maybe lists in two different ways. I've run them in my 2 different tools. So I would say there's a list of someday maybe stuff that's in Evernote that is, you know, lists of things, right? So lists of places I want to visit, lists of, you know, like a bucket list, lists of stadiums I want to tour. I like to go to different football stadiums, right? So stuff that I want to look at and kind of quickly look over. So they are kind of I can quickly scan the list and go, this is the things that I want to do. And I can add to it, or to a list of books I want to read. If you suggested a book right now, I'd put it in my, I'd put it in a, in Evernote, in my books to read list. Right. And I would track it. Ultra learning. There you go. So I would track it there. So that's sort of, if it's a list of things that I can go look to go grab the next one from, then it's in Evernote. Right. So I just, it's like TV shows, places to go, countries, cruises, races that I want to do. Evernote. I got a list for each one of them and I can just review them whenever I want to, right? Then there's OmniFocus. And OmniFocus has the ability to put projects, what are called deferred projects. So there are things that you're not in your current view, but you're going to, you pick a date and you can say January 1st or 2020 or, you know, June 13th, 2031. You can pick the project and you can say, I want it deferred until this day. And that means it's not going to show up in your world. You're not going to see it until this day. So it's a great way to put the someday maybe ones into the future and then have it come back to you when you need to see it. And again, this is one of those things that is kind of in GTD, but it's much better implemented in OmniFocus, which is, so I'll give you an example, World Cup 2026, right? I think it's 2026. It's in the United States. That's a project in my OmniFocus. I don't see it ever because I probably put the date on probably, I don't know when the date is. I put the defer date, but I probably put it somewhere in 2025, right? Maybe like September 2025, I put the defer date. So that project, that's a someday maybe, right? I want to go, I want, it's going to be here in the United States. I want to get tickets. I want to go to some games. That project will show up in my existence. It'll kind of pop into my system, kind of come out from underneath, you know, out of, it'll show up in the view on that date. And then all of a sudden I'll go, oh yeah, that's coming up next year. What is the next action? What's the next thing I need to do to make this thing become true? So for that, it's a, that's a someday maybe. So sometimes like that one's actually going to happen on a day, but I can have other ones that I might've captured like a, you know, a weekend with my wife in a certain location to go visit a friend in Switzerland or something. It's a project, it's in OmniFocus, but I keep it on another status called hold. Hold means I'm not, it hasn't a date, but OmniFocus has a great feature called review, which means you set the cadence of when this thing pops back up for you to look at it and you either take action on it or not. So I have lots of projects that just pop into my existence, like, oh, visit friends in Switzerland. And I go, am I taking action on that? Right, maybe once every 6 months or once every 3 months, and you get to choose this in OmniFocus. And then I go, no, I'm not taking it. We're not doing Switzerland this year. We're going to do Switzerland. I'll just, you know, move on. And I just say mark reviewed. And then that project goes back into dormant status. So those are sort of the three big ways I handle someday, maybe, maybe more than, again, 15 years. It's been a lot. It's a system and a half.
Interesting. So two things. If you ever come to Europe again in Berlin, we should definitely hang out.
Awesome.
I think Berlin is a very cool city to visit. I've never been to New York, so I would also like to come to New York someday. So I had a last question, but since you already, I want to do a follow-up question on what you gave me. So you said you put tickets on hold. So what are the hacks that you have done to GTD to suit you? So how have you, are you following it to the T? Or, but I think not, because that's what we discussed. So have you made some hacks?
I wouldn't say hacks. I just think of GTD I think there's like the book, which is kind of the foundation. And then, you know, if we're going to go for the housing metaphor, you have the foundation, which is the book. You read the book and you get the basics. You get, you know, capture, clarify, organize, review, engage. You get week review. You get 2-minute rule. You get the horizons of focus. You get all this sort of stuff. And there's a lot to take. I think the next piece that sort of, I guess my hacks is that unlike the book is very agnostic to tools, right? It says you could use paper, you could use Trello, you could use OmniFocus, you could use whatever you want. I think that in order, my take on it is that a great GTD tool, a great set of tools will make your GTD practice easier, more maintainable, and better, and easier to implement, and easier to stick to. And I think I know from when he wrote the book and then when he rewrote the book, he even pulled out pieces to say, like, I'm not going to talk about, you know, this Palm Pilots, I think was in the original one, you know, or Trio, and now it's, you know, obviously iPhone. He's made it very agnostic to tools, but I think now, and when I help people implement GTD, I think my hack is that to have someone show you how to do it practically in a tool, and here's the tool, and here's how you do it, here's the button, here's the thing, here's the keyboard, here's how you do this date. I think that's easier for people to do than just like, hey, use any tool on the planet. Because that's hard to do. It's like, well, should I write it down on my whiteboard? What do I do when I do it here? What if I write it down on a piece of paper? But have someone say, here's my process for that. Oh, you use paper? Boom, 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 boom. This is the way I would do it on paper. To have that kind of very specific, here's how you handle all those scenarios is, I guess, where my hack would come in, is that I think there's a practicality to it, and having someone who actually practices it, you know, using it, can show you how to do it and explain it and why they do it that way, I think is very powerful.
Thank you, Jason, for that wonderful answer. So my last question to you would be, how do people up their productivity game? Or let's say there are a lot of young entrepreneurs who are just getting started, you know, out of college maybe. What are the things that they should look at, or what can they already start with?
Clearly I would point them to GTD. So I'm going to just stick from a GTD methodology standpoint. I'm not going to say, you know, other things. The way I usually point people into GTD is I actually don't have them start with the book, because I find, especially nowadays and the attention span of people nowadays. So I like to like ease people in, get a little taste of something and then move it in. So there's two TED Talks on the YouTube or TED or whatever that David Allen has done. And I would start there, because one of them's, I think, 28 minutes. And it's not here's how to do GTD. It's sort of a big concept video. And I find you watch that and that gets people kind of like, oh, that's interesting. Like, you know, that's fascinating. That, and then if they get hooked there, then I say, okay, now let's find the right medium and the way you learn the best. Because some people don't do so well with reading, and that's not their thing. So then I say, okay, find the right medium for you. Do you like audiobooks? Do you like videos? Do you like reading? Do you like to work with others? And find your learning prowess or your ability, and then let's stick there. So then, yes, I think people should read the book. But what a thing that I've also done recently, when they came out with GTD for Teens, which was last year or maybe 2 years ago, it's a rewrite. It's done by two different authors, both who I met actually at GTD Summit, which is super cool. But it's a really interesting take on it, because it's a simplification, right? It's written for, like, I have a 14-year-old daughter. It's written for her. It's not big concept. It's not why you're on this planet. It's like, how do you deal with the stuff of your life? And so sometimes I'll just point people to that. And I'll say, go read this book. I know it says for teens, but read this book. See if there's some concepts in there. And then the third thing I say to people is what I said to you earlier, which is, don't try to bite off the whole thing. It's just too much. It's a lot. Again, 14, 15 years, I'm still mastering it. I'm still working on my practice. It's kind of like becoming a runner or doing anything. You're not going to master it the day. You know, you don't train for a marathon by starting with a 20-mile run. You start with a 1-mile run. So I would say start with something small, pick up one of the habits, and then just run that habit for a little bit. Run it for, you know, 30 days. Give yourself a break. Don't beat yourself. Nothing worse than trying to start a methodology and then feeling bad about it, and then like hating the methodology because you hate. It's like, well, now I'm beating myself up about it. So give yourself a break. Take one little thing and engage on it, right? So if it's 2-minute rule or it's capture, just try to do that for a little bit. And then lastly, or I guess two more tips. The second to last tip I would say is give yourself a treat, right? So in The Power of Habit, he talks about the cue and the reward, right? So the reward is something you should give yourself. Sometimes, you know, for me, a reward is technology. So like to buy a new piece of software or a new piece of thing, you know, like whatever it is. Like I'm going to implement GTD and maybe I'm going to upgrade my phone and put OmniFocus on it, or I'm going to, buy a new planner or something. It doesn't have to be physical, but, or a purchase, but give yourself a reward for implementing this, because that is the way to build habit. And then last is, and I think this is the hardest part, is is because there's not great communities around GTD, is try to engage with others and learn from others, because really the answers are already there. How do you handle this? Like you asked me, how do I handle someday maybe? Well, here's the three ways I handle someday maybe. How do you handle your week review? When do you do it? What do you put into it? So obviously I work with everybody at Arcus on this, and I work with other people outside of Arcus on this, friends, family, clients on this. But having someone that you can work with to help you on your system and ask questions of, so engage in those communities. So there are communities out there, right? Whether they're on LinkedIn, or there's one, if you're in Salesforce, there's a GTD community group in there. So engage in those, because those are the places you're going to learn much better about it, and you're going to really be able to implement it better if you can engage, find somebody to talk to and to get answers from who's practicing it. And it's something I'd really like to see GTD. Is what, if you ask questions which you didn't ask me, but I'm going to answer myself, is where do I want GTD to go? It's like, I want GTD to build the power of the Salesforce community I'd love to see around GTD. I'd love to see it have this kind of community aspect to it. I call it open source GTD. I don't know if that's going to piss off somebody, piss off David Allen, but I think that's where it should go, is it should be open source and turned into a community where it's not as controlled by licensing. It's more of everybody can engage and help each other and really take the power of like Ohana or stuff like that and build it into the GTD community. So,
all right. Thank you, Jason. Thank you for your time today. It was really nice talking to you and also enlightening in many ways. I wish you happy new year. And hopefully we will see each other at some conference or maybe at a GTD summit. Who knows?
Absolutely. I've been podcasting since 2007, but this is the last podcast I'm going to be on in this decade. So in some ways, it's really nice. So thank you for being my last podcast of the decade.
That's it for now, folks. Thanks for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, check out the other episodes. Please like, share, and subscribe to Forcepreneur. We are available on all major platforms. If you have feedback about any episode or would like me to interview someone, please go to www.forcepreneur.com and let me know. I will get back to you as soon as I can. This is Ankit Taneja signing out. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.